Good morning, Summit Church, and we're going to start the sermon here. We're a series called Running with the Giants. As Pastor Wayne explained, we're going with Bible characters such as Moses and Joseph and Jesus and Martha, and we're going to see what would they say to us today, year 2017 in August. What would they tell us to do? What would they show us to do? And today, my lap around the track is with Jesus. And I was thinking, okay, Jesus, what would you tell us to do? What would you show us to do? Or how to be victorious? And the perfect example was putting on the full armor of God. And Jesus said, if you put on the full armor of God and you use me, that's the full armor of God is attributes of me all through the scripture. And you saw how I came to earth and how I rose again. I died on the cross for your sin and how I will come back again. But all that time on earth is a journey. And how Jesus lived, he said, I had to put on the full armor of God. I taught my disciples how to put on the full armor of God, Peter, James, John, and the crew. You need to put on the full armor of God. So that's going to be my talk today. A lap with Jesus, putting on the full armor of God. Now, we have an enemy. Now, the enemy maybe isn't visible. Jesus knew that through his life, he would have trials, temptations. He knew the devil was there, but obviously to be seen, no, it's hard to see the devil because the enemy is usually invisible behind the scenes. But because obviously Jesus was before the world and with God in the beginning, he knew Satan. He saw Satan fall like lightning, but he knew the influence of Satan on the earth, how he corrupted the earth, how he corrupted Adam. So Jesus said, he came to the earth and he had to put on the full armor of God. He had to put on the attributes of the full armor of God. And the seven attributes we're going to learn today. But the enemy doesn't like you. He doesn't like any one of us who are believers in Christ because he's a defeated foe, but he likes to punch back at God to say, hey, look at my children. I'm going to try to destroy your walk. And quite frankly, we need to know that we are victorious with Christ, but we have an enemy that's going to try to step us up and embarrass the Lord and say, look, you didn't help this person. You didn't help Don. You didn't help this person because look at my influence. But that Jesus says no. Get into me, be into me, and put on the whole armor of God. And the enemy is ruthless. He will try to get to your children. You will think it will be your friend coming at you, but really behind the scene, it's the devil, his principalities, powers, all the legions that are trying to influence you because you're against his kingdom. Just like those who come and bring the bread to that person to say, hey, I'm your neighbor. How powerful is that? That's like putting on the armor of God and just saying, hey, I'm taking the enemy's territory and I'm going to take this for Christ. And that when we put on that armor of God, we're victorious. And as believers, we need to learn to do the same as Christ and that we put on his armor, but that we do not rely on our own power. Because with our own power, we will die. We will quickly get defeated. However, when we put the power of Christ on and put on Christ and his attributes, nothing can stop us because we have the power of God and we have the authority of God with us. So, open your Bibles, your Bible apps. We'll have it on the screen to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. This will be my key text for tonight or for today. All right, if you have it, I'm going to read from the New King James Version today. In verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for this day. I thank you, God, for putting me here in this place to preach your word, to speak your word. Let me just be a mouthpiece of you, Lord. Let me just be your voice. Let me just be the place, your voice, to hear, to let these people hear your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, you work in your hearts. You work in the hearts of the people, that you just teach them and show them that the word of God gets into their hearts richly, and that they may apply that word by faith through everything they do. We thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing here and the souls that are being saved, and how you're going to teach the people here how to put on the whole armor of God. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Again, we talked about you have an enemy. And the enemy is, again, he's stealth like a snake, but yet he's powerful and devouring like a lion, like Peter says. And in this time, we have to be sober and vigilant in these last days, for our enemy is a devouring lion. Now, the enemy hasn't changed. He's a thief. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. His plans have not changed since the beginning of time. And Jesus has watched those plans the whole way through. If we remember, Jesus was in heaven when the devil, Lucifer, was in heaven. He was an angel. And he was cast down like lightning because he tried to take the throne of God. And by pride, he was thrown out like that, like lightning. So Jesus has watched the devil. He's watched how he's destroyed things, whether it was Adam and Eve and the temptation there, or with Noah and with the whole, the reason for the flood, and the various temptations he's seen the devil make of man throughout time. And so Jesus said this. He said, you need to put on the whole armor of God. You need all these seven attributes to stand. And the reason we need to stand, Jesus says in Ephesians, we need to stand against the devil. And that word stand is not offensive. It's defensive. It's holding the higher ground. Will was in the military, Bruce's son. And in the military, it's a military term. If you're defending the high ground, you're standing up atop. And all you need to do is just hold. It's a lot harder to come up offensive up a hill. And where Jesus is and where we're positioned in Christ, we're on that hill. And Jesus says, stand. Stand with me. Stand in strength. Stand in these things. Don't run off because the enemy's coming up. Stand in my power. Stand in the Lord. The enemy wants to knock you off that hill where Christ has told you to be. Christ wants you there, but the enemy's trying to move you off. He may say, he'll be a charming snake and say, hey, go over here, go into this place where you're off your course. And then you listen to the enemy instead of the Holy Spirit, you move there. Or he'll be like that roaring lion that scares you and terrifies you. Oh, your finances are about to crumble, that and such. Believe Christ. Don't move off to where the enemy shows. So we need to be sober and vigilant. We need to keep our mind on Christ. And we need to resist the enemy, and he will flee. If you have the challenges, you're right in the will of God. If the challenges of the enemy are coming at you, you're right in the will of God. They're tests. As James 1:2-4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in the various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So when we are patient and we learn the word of God and we learn how to put the armor of God, Jesus went through every trial that we went through, and a lot more. Jesus went through everything. He became a man to face these temptations. And so he knows how to put on the armor of God. And he knew how to use the armor of God. He knew how to clothe himself in the seven pieces of the armor of God every day. So the first part of the armor of God is gird your waist with the belt of truth. truth, the Logos of God, the Word of God. Jesus in John 1:14 said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Also in John 8:31-32, Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus became the truth. He came to earth to become the truth. He is the truth. And in the armor of God, the belt, if I took off my belt here, this is the foundation of all my clothes. Or if you're working on a construction site like Josh, he has his tool belt on, okay? If he loses his tool belt and tries to put tools on his belt, and he doesn't have the belt of truth to have that firm foundation, his pants will go down, my pants will go down, and wouldn't look like a good scene. The truth of God keeps your pants up, okay? The truth of God is your foundation of everything that we do. We find it in the Word, we find it in prayer, we find it in Jesus. Jesus was the truth. He said, "If you abide in my Word," he is the Word. He is the Word made flesh. "If you abide, if you dwell in me, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Remember, the enemy wants to hold you back. He wants to hold you bondage. But the truth sets us free. So when we have this belt, it's the foundation of our clothing. It's the foundation of the armor. If we don't have the belt, if we don't have the truth, we have nothing at all. If we don't have God's truth. So when we get God's truth, we go to the Word. We pray to Jesus. We see where Jesus walked. We listen to Jesus' word. We know and trust that his word is the absolute foundation. The truth is also, like Jesus said, he is the firm foundation, the rock on which we stand, our faith. So when we stand on the rock, we stand on the truth. Remember that being the belt that holds everything else up of the armor of God. Number two, rely on the righteousness of God. Ephesians 6:15 says, "Having put on the breastplate of righteousness." The breastplate of righteousness, okay, I'm going to use Josh as, you know, being the construction guy. You put the breastplate on and your tools, everything hinges on the truth. It lays right on the belt. And so that it would come over the soldier, the Roman soldier, and it would be of brass or whatever, but it would protect the inner organs. It would protect the heart. The righteousness protects the lungs, the insides. And also, the righteousness would also be a brass. It would be shiny. But that righteousness, it protects all of our innards. It protects our well-being. Jesus is our righteousness. And that breastplate of righteousness, Jesus begins his ministry. He's walking to the Jordan River where John the Baptist was baptizing. John the Baptist sees Jesus in the distance, and he recognizes he is the righteousness. He's the Messiah. John says, you know, basically during this time of when Jesus comes to baptize him, John argues with him and he realizes the authority of Jesus. "No, Jesus, you should baptize me. I'm not worthy to baptize you. You baptize me." So in Matthew 3:13, it says this, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed it." That righteousness. Jesus was baptized at that point. John baptized him. Then God said, "This is my beloved Son for whom I'm well pleased." The Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. But that righteousness, John realized that the pure righteousness of Christ is what we need to put on. He is our right standing. He is our quality of being right. Definition of righteousness is this: the quality of being right, right living, right standing, a conformity to the revealed will of God in all respects. God declares the believer righteous through Christ. Remember, Jesus wants us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. He wants to protect our innards. Jesus put on that breastplate of righteousness as well. But he knows that the righteousness of God, it's his righteousness that gets the glory. It's his righteousness that protects us. Our righteousness is only filthy rags. So we need to become new creations in Christ. And when we become new creations in Christ, we exchange our filthy rags. We exchange our filthy righteousness, which is nothing. But we put on Christ and put on that righteousness. And then God sees that righteousness as we put him on. Number three, study and stand firm in the gospel of peace. John, can I get you as an example? Come up here real quick. So it says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, your shoes and your feet ground you in peace. Mr. John, put your feet together like this. If you put your feet together like that and don't have the right shoes and fitting, say he has flat shoes and it's real close, and you don't have a good wide base, if I'm the enemy, I can push John over. See that? That's all I have to do. If you're not grounded in peace and you're not situated right with your feet, I can push the big guy over. Now, John, stand tough where I can't push you over. Strong, stand firm like you're playing football and you're getting ready to get smacked. Now if I try to, John's grounded in the gospel of peace here. He has good footing. He's right there. Now if I try to push him, I can't. The enemy can't push him. I can't push him. He's standing. If you do the same, it doesn't matter if John's this big or if Max comes over and stays that strong. The gospel of peace grounds you in Christ. And Christ said, Christ walked in peace. Christ walked with the gospel of peace wherever he went. And peace was there. Remember the story where Jesus is in the boat. And Jesus is sleeping in the boat. The storm comes up. They're going across the Galilee. And Jesus is sitting in the boat and he's sleeping. But, okay, these guys are fishermen. I'll pretend John's a fisherman because he looks like Peter. He's probably about as tall as Peter and tough as Peter. But those guys in the boats, they knew what the storms were like in Galilee. And that storms were coming and coming. And they're saying, just pretend this is Peter. Jesus lay in the boat. He's sleeping. Jesus, Jesus, wake up. We're about to die. We've got the storm. Da, 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 da. Jesus was in that boat sleeping. He had peace because he knew where he was going to go. Jesus got up, rebuked the waves and the sea, and they calmed down. And Peter was shocked. And it's like, wow. And all the disciples that were on that boat, wow, this is the Son of Man that can command this. Jesus was at peace. Now, Jesus rebuked them because of their lack of faith at that time. But Jesus showed them how to put on the gospel of peace, put on those shoes. Mr. John, thank you for being a good example. But like John, put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. It's going to help us. It's going to help you stand firm. In John 16:33, I love this. This is right before he goes to the cross. His final words to his disciples. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me, in Jesus, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be in peace. Remember, Jesus, put on the gospel of peace with your shoes and stand firm. Number four, take up the shield of faith. In Ephesians 6:16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Remember, the enemy is invisible and his darts are invisible. Back in the Roman days, there were darts and arrows that would come out. Some were flammable liquid, and they would shoot the darts, but it would look like a normal dart. But when it hit the shield of faith, it would explode,
like a big old fire to catch the shield on fire. And the shields of faith were like pieces of plywood, like a stage here. Probably three foot by 6 foot, but they would get underneath it. But with the shield of faith, they would have to anoint it, they would have to water it, they would have to prepare it so that when they went into battle, when the fiery darts came, because they knew they would come, they looked exactly like the regular darts. They would be prepared so when the fire came out and exploded, they were prepared. Also with faith and being behind their shield of faith.
The shield of faith, the enemy would also throw the darts out to try to scare the folks out. They would have, usually they have like a one of the Roman guards, they'll have like 8 or 10 people right across. They'd have their shields lined up in strength, and the darts would come out. And sometimes if someone's shield wasn't prepared, it would blow up, but then the folks would run out, and then it would be easy picking for the enemy. This is why Jesus says, take up the shield of faith. And what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made of things which are visible. And again, in Romans 10:17, we gain faith by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now the enemy, the darts of the enemy are like thoughts. The enemy's going to throw thoughts in your brain. The enemy's going to throw thoughts into your... That's not evil. That's not bad. The enemy's going to do it. But it's what you do with those thoughts once they get into your head. Once they hit that, do you have that shield of faith up? Have you built your faith up to know, oh, that's just the dart. I'm going to throw it away, or am I going to dwell on it? It might be, oh, you're sick, or oh, your coworker doesn't like you. Your coworker thinks your writing style is bad. Well, you never know when that dart there, that coworker thinks your writing style is bad, and then you accept it, and it's not the word of God, it's not the truth of God, and you just let it dwell and dwell and dwell. But then that next coworker may not like your hair that next day, and then she doesn't like the way you eat and this and that, and you keep on building and building and building the destruction and the heaping of the enemy in those words, and you start believing that instead of God. We need to believe the word of God, the truth of God. Again, all these layers build upon each other. So when that dart comes, throw it away. If it doesn't match up with the word in your faith, throw it away. It's not poisonous being in your head, because you're going to have darts thrown at you. You're going to have challenges thrown at you. Turn to Christ. Turn to the word. Turn to the truth. Put your breastplate of righteousness. Put that faith up. Now, how do we grow faith? It's like a weightlifter. I hear Max is lifting weights down in the basement with Pastor Wayne. Now, Max, you know, you're going to start with maybe that 10-pound curl, right? And you can do that 10-pound curl right now really good. Well, you get stronger because of what? Resistance. So you start with a 10-pound curl, and you work on that 10-pound curl. And that may be just the simple milk of the gospel. But Max isn't ready for that 50-pound curl yet. Oh, no, you've got to build up to that 50-pound curl. But the challenges of the 50-pound curl, you need to start working at 10. And so the same way with faith. The way we do it physically is the same way we do it spiritually. We get in the Word of God. We start reading the Word. We start seeing, okay, faith is how we grow. Faith is how we grow in the Word, and by listening and hearing by the Word of God. Now, say what Max is, he gets up to that 50 pounds. Sometimes, okay, it's like, okay, I'm working my 15. But to get to that 15, sometimes you have to get to that the 50, you got to work that 25 like three times, where it's resisting real hard. That may be life. That may be, you know, you may have a loved one in the hospital. You have that loved one in the hospital, and that's that 25 pounds. I'm tough. I can do it. But I need God. I need your strength. But you resist. The resistance builds and builds your strength. Now, say the 50-pound weight might be the loss of a loved one or some major catastrophe. Jesus wants us to build our faith gradually so that when we go through the trials, like in James, we grow upon each trial and each test. So when we're ready, the faith builds the same way. You build and build and build like a weightlifter. It's the same way spiritually. So when that 50-pound weight comes, when that big situation comes, you know you've defeated the lion, you defeated the bear like David, and you defeated the giant. Jesus did the same thing. He knew he defeated the devil first at the temptation. He had various trials and temptations all the way through, but that 50-pound weight was in the garden getting ready to go to the crucifixion. He grew in faith by the word. If he grew in faith, we need to grow in faith. So develop your faith. Learn how to grow. Learn how to grow in faith. And also, the same faith, everyone has the same muscle structure. Everyone has the same ability of faith. The muscle structure in Max right here is the same muscle structure in Mackenzie or Jeremiah or anyone here. You can get to that faith, but you have to work it. You have to work it. You have to get to the 10 and 15 before you get to the 50. That person that has the 50-pound weight that can go do that and is the bodybuilder, he has years and years of workouts and strength. And he's able to do that because of his strength and trials and tribulations to get to that point. So each one of us is made of the same body, the same strength, and we can get to that. So don't believe just because you see a giant of faith way out there, you see Jesus. No, Jesus knows that you can do it, or he wouldn't have told you how to do it. You can be in the same place of Christ. You can be in the same place of Christ of faith, but it's up for you to read the word, to pray, to constantly do the spiritual weightlifting as we grow in faith. Number five, we're going to put on the helmet of salvation and take the helmet of salvation. Jesus is our salvation. He is our sozo. That's the Greek word for salvation. It sozo means to save, heal, cure, preserve, keep safe and sound, rescue from danger, destruction. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Sozo. Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is our perfect sacrifice. He is the helmet of salvation that protects our head. By the renewing of the word, by the washing of the word, by the Holy Spirit every day, by putting his salvation on our head, by trusting in the blood of Jesus, we renew our mind through prayer and reading in Christ every day. Jesus knew salvation. He's all the victories of salvation, whether it was the death, burial, and resurrection, whether it was healing the blind man or performing the miracles with the bread or raising Lazarus from the dead. He is our salvation. He is our life, to those who believe. Also, when we put the helmet of salvation on, it helps us protect the mind. Again, we have faith, but those darts also can come to the head. It also protects our mind, those darts and thoughts. So in Romans 12, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So put on Christ, put on the helmet of salvation, put on his blood, renew your mind every day to the word, and you'll help bless you and help you with your walk. Jesus did the same. He put on the mind of Christ. He was Christ, but he put on the mind of God. He was constantly focused on the word. He was constantly talking to the Father through prayer. He put on that salvation helmet. We need to do the same. Number six, use the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, it's the rhema word of God. The word here for word is rhema. It's the life. It's the spoken word. Logos, truth, is the dwelling. It's the substance. But this is the action of the word, the life. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus says, he's in the temptation. He's gone through the 40 days. Of fasting and praying, and he's in the wilderness, and the devil comes up, and in the story it says, Now, when the tempter came to Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now, when the enemy throws those thoughts, throws those darts, and you get that those things against you, use the word of God. Use the sword of the Spirit. Use the word of God as your weapon, as a defensive and also offensive. Jesus used it. He said to the devil, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the next thing, right after that, the enemy, the devil, takes him up to the holy city, sets him on top of the pinnacle of the temple, and says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up unless you dash your foot against the stone. The enemy will even use the word against you. You have to know, rightfully divide the word of truth. Jesus used the word again. He says, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And then he comes again, all these things I give you, the kingdoms of this world, and so on and so forth. Jesus knew, you need to know the authority and where you stand in Christ. Put on that armor. Jesus did. He said, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Use the word of God. Know the rhema word of God. Know the life-giving word of God. Get in here and proclaim the word of God over your situation. Use the word. Just find the word. It may be, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You may be fearful. You may just need that encouragement. Speak the word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Speak the word over your family. If you need to find somewhere that someone's sick or needs healing, find where Jesus healed and spoke, and they saw the man get up and walk, or get up and be healed, or whatever. Find those scriptures. Use those words. Speak those, because there's power in the word, and Christ dwells within that word. And the Holy Spirit also helps create the action of the sword of the Spirit. And again, that sword is right there. It's your weapon. It's a defensive weapon where you're close battle, where the enemy keeps on coming back, and you stand and you try to defeat him. Use that word. It's also offensive, where you can use the word of God to go out and speak the word, help clear the paths. The final piece of the armor is a huge piece of the armor. It says, have a prayer life like Jesus. Have a prayer life like Jesus. And I'm going to close with this. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I'm going to encourage you on September 2nd, come to prayer. Come to the community prayer meeting. Come to the prayer meetings on Saturdays or before service on Sunday. But prayer is your foundation. Prayer is the most, probably, you have the truth and then the prayer. Jesus' disciples saw how powerful Jesus was in prayer. They said, they came up to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. Jesus said, pray first, and showed them how to pray. And he showed them the Lord's Prayer. In the passage, it says, pray with all prayer and supplication. Paul, in this here, refers to actually this being a lance or a big javelin, an arrow. This is your offensive weapon. Prayer goes out before you. It sends out the communication. It sends out your team. It sends out angels before you. Prayer is also not only your petitions to God asking for supplication. Pray with all prayer. Praise him. Praise him. Also, you know, we have supplications and we ask him for things. But prayer is more than that. It's the mishkan. The tent, the tabernacle, the Hebrew word for tabernacle back in the day was the mishkan. It was the place of meeting. It was the place where they would meet God in prayer. The value of putting on, having the prayer life as part of your armor, is you communicate daily. You come into the dwelling place of the Lord, where you can bring your petitions. You can bring your petitions to him, but you dwell with him. He communicates with you and says, Pastor Wayne, here, go here. Avoid I-70 today. You need to take Highway 50 out the Grand Junction. That communication is probably going to save your life because you may know there's an accident there. It might be, Meredith, do this with the kids this week. I know you've done this and this and this, but the Holy Spirit says, no, do this. That's the value of prayer. We dwell with Christ. We dwell with the Lord. The Holy Spirit's here. And not only is the Mishkan, the tent, a dwelling, when we believe and are saved, the Holy Spirit comes in and our dwelling, our bodies become the temples of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is with us wherever we go. So when we put on the belt of truth, when we put on the breastplate of righteousness, when we put on the shoes of the gospel of peace, put on the helmet of salvation, take the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, we dwell in prayer in the presence of the Lord. And that together, this is an armor of God they didn't have. Jesus knew it. Jesus knew it when he came. He had the Holy Spirit dwelling within him. He's the first one to have the Holy Spirit in him and around him and everything. But because of the new birth and because we are new creations in Christ and believe in him, we, when we're saved, we're regenerated and have the Holy Spirit in us. And we become, we have that full armor of God, the seventh point. We have the Holy Spirit with us. We have God with us wherever we go. He teaches us to go here, go there. So we need to listen. But the beauty is we can ask him how to proceed, like Jesus said. Ask me of my daily bread. Give me the praises. Just give me praise. Give me your hope. Give me your things. Ask and I will give to you. Seek and you will find. Jesus demonstrated his prayer in John 16 before he went to the cross. If you have a chance to read it, read it. Read that prayer. But you can come to pray and found your life on prayer and found your life using the whole armor of God, using the attributes of Christ, so that prayer founds your body, founds your armor. And in prayer, it also allows the Holy Spirit, allows the angels to go out before you, your team, to go out and help defeat the enemy. So I'm going to close. First, I'm going to pray for salvation, and then I'm going to pray just a prayer of encouragement. But first, I don't know everyone in the room. If you want this armor of God, if you want Christ, if you want to know the redemption, if you want to know the salvation of Christ, if you don't know him yet, I pray that you ask, we're going to pray and we ask that you ask him in this salvation. Jesus said again in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So if you want that everlasting life, why don't you pray with me? And as a congregation, please pray with me together. Dear Jesus, sorry for my sin. Sorry for going my own way. I ask that you forgive me. I ask that you cleanse me with your blood. And that you give me your salvation. I accept you, Lord Jesus. I accept your salvation. I accept your peace. I accept your love. I accept your righteousness. And I can't do anything without you. I exchange my filthy rags for you, Lord Jesus. Now I confess you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. Now I am saved. Amen. Also, one thing I want to dedicate this real quick as believers in Christ. I know we've had challenges this summer as a church. I'm going over just a little bit, but we've had challenges as a church. I encourage you in this tomorrow is the first day of Elul. In the Hebrew calendar, it's the last month before the new year of the Hebrew calendar. And it was a time of preparation for the new year. The harvest is almost over. It was the end of summer, so it's the last month. But what they would do, when Jesus was baptized, it was the first of Elul, which would be tomorrow. He came, and then he went, he was baptized and went, and was tempted for 40 days. But during that time, John the Baptist, and they would be preaching, repent and return back to me. Repent and turn back to me. I encourage you with how Jesus said, put on the whole armor of God. One, repent. repent. If you have any sin, if you have any misdoings, if you've sinned and missed the mark, repent. And not turn 360, but 180, back to where you began. Back to where you heard the voice of the Lord. Back where you heard the Holy Spirit say, no, no, Bill, you go this way instead of that way. Go back to that place. But I also encourage you every day, take these notes. Put on the whole armor of God. Get up in the morning and say, I'm putting on the belt of truth. And put on the belt of truth. Even if you have to pretend to put on the belt of truth, put on the belt of truth. And say, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put that on. And then take the shoes of the gospel of peace. Put those on and stand firm like John was so you don't get knocked over. Okay? Put on the helmet of salvation. Physically put it on. Take the shield of faith to know to block all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the sword of the Spirit. And then get into prayer. Get into the dwelling place of the Lord. And pray with all prayer and supplication. I encourage each one of you every day. Put on the whole armor of God. Also during this time, repent. But if you need to forgive someone during this season, this was a season to get things right with Christ. We can repent and forgive at any time of the year, but there's certain seasons. Like Christmas, we focus on Jesus' birth. With a wedding season, you know, during the spring and such, we think of weddings. But consider this season a time to get things right back with those who maybe hurt you that you need to forgive. Maybe you need to write a note or a card to say, I forgive you. I'm sorry for what you did to me, but I forgive you. Release them. If you need to go to someone else and say, hey, I owe you $20 max, here you go. I'm sorry. I took that from you. Get things right. Get in prayer. Ask the Holy Spirit where you can go to bless others and forgive others. Because when you forgive others, it releases those. And then again, put on the armor of God.
Thanks, Bill.